Well, grace and peace in the name of God the Creator and Christ the Redeemer. Jesus, in today's gospel lesson, gives us perhaps one of the most powerful phrases when it comes to this concept of what it means to welcome and to be welcomed as disciples of the living Christ. Whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. Another phrase I heard recently that is perhaps equally powerful is the phrase, have a beer and relax. This phrase was used by two best friends, one Benjamin Smith and Marcus Ellis, a white man and a black man who are best friends and in the midst of the resurgence of awareness with regards to injustice and division, racism, and all the brokenness that we have in our society when it comes to relations with one another. They showcased their friendship and how they encourage people to see each other as who they are, just people, and to be together in that presence. The story was so powerful not only because the video that they shared went viral in the world, but also because a famous person, I know you have heard me speak of famous people not in the best light at times in my sermons, but this is a positive one. The country star Brad Paisley heard of their story, watched their video, and proceeded to buy the entire stock of beer at the local liquor store near their home and to have it delivered, along with a video message praising what they did to bring awareness to how friendship can be the key to resolving some of our issues, many of our issues in our society. Have a beer and relax. Now, I know that it's not that simple, that there are bigger issues, of course, to deal with, but when it comes down to it, if we have respect for and see friendship in another person, then we no longer see them for what color they are or creed or any other division that we put upon them in our society. We see them as God sees them, as a child of God, one worthy of respect and tender care. Now, for those two young men, their house just became perhaps the most popular home in town, and they said that they in no way can drink all that beer, which I'm glad they said that, because that would not be good for their health. But now they would open up their yard to people coming by and grabbing one for themselves and enjoying fellowship and care for one another as a community. Now, I don't know if Jesus had in mind that exact scenario when he wrote these words long ago. Obviously, perhaps did not, but the spirit of the message is the same. Remember that Jesus, before this gospel lesson, which is perhaps one of the shortest we've had for this year, so if we were in church, you'd be happy because you wouldn't be standing very long. This is the tail end of several passages we've read for the last few weeks where Jesus is preparing and then sending his disciples out into the world, both to minister, but also, as we see in the gospel narrative today, to also to be ministered to be welcomed on behalf of the message they bring. He begins with these powerful words, whoever welcomes you welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Now, look at this powerful phrase in the beginning here, and see how it might inform who we are and what we do as church and what we do as people. When we welcome someone, when we give them a moment of our time, a word of kindness, sharing our abundance, when we just treat them cordially if we're passing in the grocery store or in traffic on the roads or any other scenario, think about this. Not only are we offering up a form of welcome, which acknowledges that they exist and that they are welcome in our space, we are also essentially welcoming the very presence of Jesus Christ. Now, I ask you, brothers and sisters, if all of God's children were to think about the world that way, would we even have to have ongoing centuries of conversation about race and the brokenness that has been perpetuated upon humanity by humanity? If every single person saw another person and said, if I welcome you, I welcome Jesus. I welcome God, the Redeemer and Creator. How much better would the world be if we just saw each interaction that we had with one another in that way, through that lens? I believe Jesus is trying to open up the door more and more to helping them see that perspective. Now, last week we heard some really difficult words where Jesus basically said, by the way, if you choose to become my disciple, it will cause division. You'll have family members going against you. You'll no longer be a part of your family. That was bad news for many of the disciples, undoubtedly, because family, then especially and now, is integral to who we are. There's a negative way to look at that and see the brokenness and the sadness of leaving one's family, but the other side of that is what we see revealed today in Jesus' words. If you're no longer bound only to the hospitality and care for your own family, your own neighbors, those who you have been told you have to be nice to, crazy Uncle Charlie who comes at Christmas and you know you don't want to hear his stories anymore, but again, you keep listening and listening because your mom told you have to be nice to him. Or Aunt Ethel who comes who always seems to bring that strange dish and your parents tell you you'll eat it and you'll like it because it would be rude otherwise. We love these people oftentimes because we feel obligated to. But Jesus is saying there is no obligation because in God's eyes there is no earthly familial ties. We are all members of one big family, and it is bound not upon this earth, but in heaven itself. Whether we be there or here, it is all connected. So then the disciples are free to not just offer hospitality or see love of neighbor in their own kin and family, their own nationality. Soon we'll see as we begin to go through the gospel narrative and into the book of Acts and Romans and all the stories of Paul, you begin to see that outside of the Jewish faith becomes family. The Gentiles are then given the good news, and the ultimate breaking down of barriers is achieved when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Jesus is opening their minds to seeing the fact that, yes, they will have strife and brokenness because the good news is in conflict with this world. Just imagine if you're a young man or a young woman saying to your family, I am leaving to go follow Jesus. Obviously, there's going to be turmoil by some or some sort of resentment in family for that decision. There's going to be brokenness, especially if they don't believe in the message of what he is teaching. And as we know later, who he is, the Messiah. But the good news is that when you leave, you are welcomed into a larger family. The same can be said, brothers and sisters, for what we do every single day. We profess to be a part of a community of faith. Now, I know that this is the last recording that you'll hear from me before we endeavor into the new world of having church in person. And I'll be honest with you, brothers and sisters, I don't know what the future holds. I don't know if we will be in person for a long time or if we'll have to enter into this place of isolation again because of coronavirus or any other situation in the future. I don't know the answer to that. But I think it's important to note that never at any moment did we stop being church. I heard one scholar say it best where they said perhaps the best thing that ever happened to the church was for the church to leave its buildings. Why is that so? Because then you realize that church is not about buildings. It's not about being even in person with one another, even though that is sacred and precious. And I do look forward to it, even in the confines of our rules and the way we're doing it safely now. Church is about welcome. Church is about knowing that I am welcomed by a brother or sister, that if I have a need, I can pick up the phone, I can text, I can walk over to their home, and I can receive care. Or if I know someone that is in need, I have the opportunity, not just the obligation, but the opportunity to share that cold cup of water, to welcome someone, to give hospitality to them as if they were Jesus himself. Now imagine for a moment how good that cup of water would taste in the context of when Jesus is writing. Remember that Jesus is writing during a time where, in a place where they're in the desert. Well, I don't know about you, but it's pretty hot out there, so we could perhaps relate to this much better than our brothers and sisters who are sitting at the beach right now with nice, cool temperatures. You're in the desert, you're thirsty. Thirsty and perhaps famished as well, beyond a place where you ever have been before. And someone offers you a cold cup of water. A cup of cold water, as it says in the narrative. Now, water was not easy to come by, and I imagine cold water was not easy to come by even more so, because, again, you are in a desert. There were no drilling rigs for wells or things of that nature. Wells were dug by hand, and oftentimes people would have to depend on the land to provide the sustenance of water if they were traveling. So water was like gold in that place. So to offer a little one a cold cup of water would have been so powerful for those who heard those words. And Jesus honors that power by saying it right afterwards, "None of these will lose their reward." That's how powerful it is to share hospitality, brothers and sisters. It is connected directly by Jesus himself to the gift of salvation itself. That's how wonderful it is, the opportunity to share out of our abundance and care for one another. It's because we have been given that great reward. That's why we're inspired and driven out into the world to share that good news and care for other. Now, when I was a kid, I was in Boy Scouts, and we would do a lot of hiking. And we would go hiking for sometimes days on end. I remember every time we'd go on a long trip, you'd pack up your pack and you'd weigh it and you'd make sure you get it as light as you could because you knew you'd have to carry everything on your back. And you always tried to eat the heavy stuff first and save the top ramen, which didn't weigh anything, for the last 2 days. And I always kept, as we were instructed to, we always kept a little bit of money in our first aid kit. It was emergency money, just in case, you know, that was back in the days of pay phones and things like that, just in case something happened where you need to make a call or gain access to some funds. And it wasn't a lot of money, usually about $5, maybe at most, when I got older, $10, a $10 bill sitting in that emergency kit. Well, one of the best rituals of these long trips was that after our hike was over and we were picked up by parents and the rest of our leaders and driven out of the wilderness into civilization, we would almost always stop by usually a convenience store or a gas station, and we would get to take out our emergency money and we get to buy snacks. And one of my favorite things ever, and most of the delicious things I remember to this day, was after you've been out in the wild. Well, the wild. I mean, we weren't out that wild, but we were somewhat close to civilization. But out in the wilderness, once you've been hiking and away from the creature comforts of your life for a while, you would open up a soda and you drink that soda. And I'm not saying soda's good for you, kids, so don't say Pastor Brian said that. But in moderation, you'd open up that Coke, and it was perhaps the most delicious thing you've ever tasted in your life. It was so refreshing and sweet, and just, you never wanted it to end. It lifted your spirits. Now, I think you're probably imagining, wow, Pastor Brian really loved that Coke. Well, I did, because I was thirsty. Now, on a spiritual level, brothers and sisters in Christ, we are all very thirsty right now. We are so thirsty that perhaps we've never imagined being more thirsty or hungry for hope, for love, for peace, for joy, for certainty, for knowing what the future holds, all the things that we can list that we wish we could receive more of right now. And the good news that Jesus brings to us is that as we go out into the world, either on the phone or in person safely, and share with one another, care for one another, remind each other that we're okay, that we're there for each other, we're drinking those cold sips of water. And that cold sip of water is just what you need in that moment. A moment where you feel that you're not alone. Now, there's some other words in the text that we can wrestle with, and I'll be honest, we have wrestled with for many years on what they mean. Where it says in verse 41, whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of righteousness. The tricky one is that prophet one, because if you know your story of prophets, I don't think you want the reward that most prophets received in this life. Usually it was a reward of persecution, of a life of scarcity and fear and all kinds of trouble that came because the world does not want to hear hard truths, and justice can be very dangerous to those who are oppressing others. But the reward that Jesus speaks of, that we believe he speaks of, is the same reward he speaks of at the end. It is the gift of salvation, is the gift of presence, is the gift of God's love. Have a beer and relax, brothers and sisters. Share a cup of cold water with someone in need. Share a moment on the phone with someone who's been isolated at home and lonely this whole time. Share a word of comfort for someone who's worried about what the future will hold, who's worried about illness, disease, the economy, the brokenness of this world, the brokenness of our society, injustice, all the things that we could just pile up upon our hearts and minds. Do those things. Share the good news that Jesus is with that person, and you are doing what Jesus said to his disciples to do long ago. You're sharing not only a cold cup of water, which is refreshing and enjoyable and as beautiful as that cold Coke that I enjoyed a long time ago on those backpacking trips. But you are sharing welcome itself. You're sharing hospitality. And if you do that for another person, no matter who they are, no matter where they come from, whether they're in the church or they can't be in the church, because they're isolated at home, well then, you are sharing your love and thanksgiving to Jesus himself. How powerful is that, brothers and sisters? When we share with one another, when we welcome one another, no matter who comes into our midst, we are welcoming the very presence of Jesus. And so we are reminded in that moment that we will truly never lose our reward. Now I'll close by saying this, brothers and sisters. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what challenges we will face in the days, weeks, and months to come. But I know that the church has never stopped remaining and will continue to remain, whether we're in person in worship or not. We are the church, and what we do is the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus. So I thank you for the ways that you share a cold cup of water to those who are most in need in your life. And if you're thirsty right now and in need of a cup yourself, may you receive that blessing from someone else. To do so, to give and to receive, are both gifts of discipleship and gifts that come directly from the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Now may God's peace be upon you today, and let us have a word of prayer to invite that welcome to be upon our souls. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you have sent us out into the world. Lord, we know that we have not been in person to worship, but we have worshiped nonetheless. That we have seen fully what it means to be church, especially in difficult times, because we have been driven into a place of sharing with one another words of kindness, assurance, with helping provide for those in need, with longing to be together, but knowing that we are truly never apart in spirit because your presence binds us eternally. We pray, Lord, that as we commence upon this adventure and journey of reconvening in person, that that worship will fill us up in spirit so that we can always keep going out of that building with one mission in mind, the love of neighbor because of the love of God. When we welcome others for who they are, children of God, and not for what they look like or their nationality or their belief systems or whatever label we put upon them, then we are welcoming one of your little ones. And that is the greatest gift of all of discipleship that we can offer in thanksgiving to you. Bless and keep every one of us. May we who are thirsty be filled up and full today with the waters of baptism. And may your light shine upon this church family and all of God's children across this globe. Everyone who breathes the breath of life, may they breathe in the grace of our Lord Jesus, and may they give thanks and share all they can with those among them. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.